Today's gospel reading comes from what is known as, it's at the closing of what is known as Luke's Sermon on the Plain. It's his version of what's known in the Gospel of Matthew as the Sermon on the Mount, but they happen in two different locations, even with similar material. That's another sermon. Reading starting with verse 37, the words of Jesus. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Jesus also told them a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into the pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, friend, let me take out the speck in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of the heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of evil treasure, produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a person building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a person who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, it immediately fell, and great was the ruin of that house. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. I'm not sure if the following story actually happened, but I know that it is true. Many decades ago, a young couple moved into an old neighborhood. And one morning, the couple was eating their breakfast, and the young woman saw her neighbor hanging out her wash on a clothesline. That laundry isn't very clean, she said. Our neighbor evidently doesn't know how to wash properly. Her husband looked on but remained silent. Every time her neighbor would hang wash out to dry, the young woman responded with the same remarks. But about a month later, the young woman was very surprised to see nice, clean wash hanging out on the line, and said to her husband, look, she has finally learned how to wash properly. The husband simply replied, I woke up early this morning and washed out our windows. And so it is with life. What we see when observing others often depends on the clarity of the window or the lens through which we look. This is one of the themes in the collection of sayings in today's gospel lesson from Luke 6. It serves as Jesus' instructions on discipleship, on how to be a follower of Jesus. And another theme is the conviction that Our character as a person cannot be separated from our behavior and attitude towards others. Jesus makes a strong case that what a person does and says inevitably stems from who a person is. In other words, who we are as individuals and as a congregation is ultimately revealed in what we do and in what we say. For instance, if we claim to be inclusive and yet do not welcome all people with equal openness and respect and with genuine hospitality, then we really aren't as inclusive as we think we are. Verses 37 to 42 introduce a theme of being non-judgmental and especially being non-condemning. We learn that this could be accomplished in part through appropriate self-reflection and self-examination, followed by the necessity to always act with integrity. But Jesus makes the analogy that a blind person cannot lead another blind person down the road, for both will fall into a ditch. Now, if we are the second blind person needing guidance, then this is a blatant warning to choose our leaders wisely. And that includes both our religious leaders and our political leaders. So I encourage us all to think about that before casting any ballots in our city, state, or national elections this year. Jesus follows that with a saying that reveals that a student will end up being like the teacher. So in a similar way, this is also a warning concerning whom we choose to follow. We are asked to reflect then upon who it is that you and I learn from. Who are our teachers and our role models? If one learns from spiritually blind, hypocritical, and judgmental teachers, then one becomes such a person. So choose your teachers carefully. Luke is not saying, however, that imperfections automatically disqualify a person from being a leader. That includes you and me. But on the contrary, Jesus' point is that the disqualifying factor in leadership is not our flaws, but rather blindness to our flaws, an unwillingness to critique and be honest with ourselves. And in emphasizing his instructions to not judge or condemn, Jesus tells quite a humorously exaggerated proverb. It's one of my favorites in the entire Bible. Jesus draws the extravagant visual picture of a person who has a log sticking out of his or her eye while trying to extract a speck of dust or a small splinter from someone else's eye. And this was obviously told to teach and remind us that it is often easier for us to recognize the faults in others than it is for us to acknowledge our own faults. Psychologists suggest that often those things we dislike most in other people tend to be our own less desirable characteristics. The brilliant psychiatrist Carl Jung called this a reflection and a projection of our shadow side. So Jesus teaches us how important it is to hold a mirror up to our own face and to take a good close look at what it reveals. We're being called then to shine a spotlight upon ourselves before we turn that light onto others. And in essence, Jesus calls for a vigorous program of taking an inventory of the logs in our eyes and, when necessary, to embark upon a program of log removal. Or, to use the analogy from the opening story, before pronouncing judgment on others, we need to wash our own windows through which we look upon others in the world. Jesus uses a very strong word for those who don't. Hypocrite. I'm among those who believe that hypocrisy may be the culprit infecting and inflicting the most damage on organized religion today. And one biblical commentator writes, looking always to others, not self, can be a beautiful veil, protecting one from honest soul-searching. This could be true for religious institutions as well. And Jesus gets to the heart of the matter in verses 43 to 45. He underscores the inseparable union of what we are and what we do. And more specifically, the union is between the true character of a person as revealed by what one says. Quote, "For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks." I think that was said best by every elementary school child ever. What you say is what you are. Pretty wise. Jesus then provides an agricultural analogy to emphasize his point. You will know the kind of tree by the fruit it produces. Apple trees, for instance, bear apples. Thorn bushes produce more thorn bushes. The application of this analogy is that a good heart produces good thoughts and good actions, while an evil heart produces evil thoughts and evil actions. Before we start categorizing the hearts of others, let us remember that there is a bit of both, the good and the bad, in each of us. So does College Hill, for instance, always draw from the goodness of our heart? Is our church community a reflection of Jesus' teachings made visible in the world around us? At the close of today's gospel reading, verses 46 through 49, is in a kind of challenge. The person who calls Jesus Lord must also behave as Jesus teaches. We're warned that it is not enough just to listen to what Jesus teaches or to simply regurgitate the words of Jesus to others without following them ourselves. This is how I personally perceive the religious fundamentalism and the fundamentalists who are out in force again yesterday, protesting yesterday's Tulsa Pride Parade. It makes me want to quote the first verse of today's gospel passage, Luke 6, 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. But then I wonder, is not my attitude and response to them also be judging and condemning? Am I not also part of the problem? If nothing else, it reminds me of the need to reflect harder on the log in my own eye before trying to take the speck out of theirs, albeit a very huge speck. Darn, I just did it again. Along these lines, perhaps you've even seen the following quote in our fellowship hall. Everyone is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind. Always. So yes, perhaps the key to this entire gospel passage comes in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then not do what I tell you? There's really no better way to describe this teaching than with a word that is basically out of favor in our day and age, and that's obedience. Jesus makes this point with yet another very visual analogy, the parable of the two builders. The story Jesus tells presents the contrast between those who hear and then act upon what they have heard, as in being obedient, and those who hear but do not act or follow through. Disobedient. The person who comes to Jesus and hears his teachings and then does what is being taught is like a person who builds a house on a solid foundation of rock. When the mighty floodwaters come,
meaning
the troubles in life, the house will stand. And putting Jesus' teachings into practice, we gain then the ability to withstand the storms that come. And yes, they will come. But in contrast, the person who comes to Jesus and hears his teachings and then does not do what is taught is compared to one who builds a house with no foundation. So when the storms of life come, the house will collapse. And to add emphasis, Jesus concludes, and the ruin of that house will be great. Put it most simply and bluntly, we are warned about the necessity of responding to Jesus' teachings. So a bearer is asking the question, how do you evaluate your daily response to Jesus' teachings? How would you describe the foundation on which you have built your life? Could it use a little reinforcement or undergirding? So then I think today's scripture passage will help a great deal. Well, to summarize, and yes, we were taught in seminary to never end a sermon with, to summarize. To summarize, we've learned that we must be careful not to judge and condemn others. We can accomplish this in part by tending to our own faults before presuming to help others with theirs. And in the process, we must be careful in our speech. And perhaps most importantly, we must be obedient in following the teachings of Jesus. This, in my opinion, is what defines a person as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, more than what one believes theologically about Jesus, or anything else for that matter. And this provides a wonderful and concise, though partial, description of what it actually means to be a disciple, to live a life of faithful discipleship. For as we all know, of course, this is much easier said than done. That is where God's grace comes in. And the empowerment of God's Spirit within us, helping us to make strides to become the individuals and the congregation that God has created and called us to be. What log in my eye? Oh yeah, that one.